So Proverbs, couple, like I said, four subjects. Don't worry, I don't think it'll take that long. But four topics, and the four basic topics from Proverbs that we're looking at are the conditions for being wise, and we'll look at a couple of Proverbs pertaining to that. Taming the tongue, that's a fun one. We'll look at some Proverbs concerning that. Our steps, our individual steps in lives are ordained by God. We'll look at a couple of Proverbs on those. And also being good listeners. Good listeners. So that's our first topic is the conditions for being wise or seeking wisdom, we might say. So our first one is found in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verses 31 through 33. Hold on here. Okay. Proverbs 15, 31 through 33. Let's just take one at a time here. So first, verse 31 is basically learning how to listen to rebuke, which is not always fun, but it's part of being wise. It says, Proverbs 15, 31, he whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. So constructive criticism is what he's saying, Solomon, preserves life. It's a sign of spiritual maturity to respond well to when you're rebuked of your sin, and not to justify what you've done or to argue, which is not easy, is it? Or even to attack back, perhaps. I'm talking about constructive criticism. I'm talking about false accusations. That's a little bit different, I think, although you can still be wise in that. Having a listening ear is listening to reproof is a sign of wisdom. Hold on. There should be one more here. A couple more. Okay. When we're rebuked of our sin, we should respond with repentance. And repentance is not crying. Repentance is a change of life, right? It's a change of behavior, not just crying or feeling bad. And I'm just going to give you our main text is from 15 right now, but I'll read to you Proverbs, Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. So a teachable person is among the wise, no matter how old they are, no matter how old or young. Okay, verse 32. He who neglects discipline despises himself, or literally his soul, despises his soul. The end part is, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding, or has a heart of wisdom, or has a heart, acquires heart or sense. So despise oneself means to reject oneself as if little value. In reality, we know how our culture loves itself, you know, promote yourself, honor yourself, self-focus. In reality, the biblical way to love yourself is to receive correction and receive it well, and to listen to it and change your life, repent of it. For example, Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. So this is not vain vanity or narcissism, but it's a genuine concern for your life and pursuing wisdom. And you, as it says at the end of verse, but he who listens to reproof acquires wisdom or understanding. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. So verse 33, we need to be humble. That's what he's saying. It's pretty simple. Although simple to say, but not simple to do, right? For example, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now we move on to the second topic of four topics. We move on to taming the tongue, Proverbs 10, verse 19. We have three verses for this as well, but we'll start with Proverbs 10, verse 19. Taming the tongue. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable and inevitable. It's not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. So restraining your mouth, lips, you're a wise individual. So the proverb is basically saying you can figure it out yourself. It's saying that if you run your mouth, you're in trouble. You're going to eventually say something you shouldn't say, right? You're bound to say something you shouldn't have said, sinful way, or putting someone down. Eventually, you're going to mess up, is basically what he's saying. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable. Speaking idle words. I read a little bit of Matthew Henry for this. Those that love to hear themselves talk do not... Those who love to hear themselves talk do not consider what they are making for repentance, meaning they're going to have to produce a lot of repentance because they're blabbing too much. But at the end of the verse, but he who restrains his lips, so withholds his lips or holds it in check, they are showing wisdom by restraining their lips. So in other words, we don't have to say everything we're thinking, right? And that's how we usually get in trouble, is we say everything we're thinking. Now go to Proverbs 17:27. Okay, we're on the second topic. The second topic of looking at Proverbs. Come on. 17:27 and 28. We'll read 27 first, of course. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding, or it could be a woman of understanding, of course. So restraining or holding back, holding in check again your words. This is what James says about our tongues in James 2. James says that tongues are hard to tame. They're restless evil, full of deadly poison. We use it to bless the Lord and also to curse men. The end of the verse says, but a man with a cool spirit, or a even-tempered man, a calm man, a man who's composed, is a man who has understanding. So the opposite of a cool spirit, you know, would be someone who's heated, someone who's angry, someone who's filled with anger or excitement, of resentment. Like Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Or Proverbs 14:28. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Because they can't keep their mouth closed, and they're just jabbering in anger, resentment. 17:28. Now we go to the next verse. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. So this doesn't mean that a fool is now considered wise because he shuts his mouth. Rather, he's just hiding his folly because he's silent for a change, right? So silence is just one evidence of wisdom, not all of wisdom. The end of the verse says, when he closes or seals or holds his lips, he is considered prudent, wise, when he closes his lips. So the wise, we learn, then doesn't react harshly or rashly with heated passions, but closes their mouth, speaks when they need to speak. All right, so the next topic is our steps are ordained by God. Proverbs 20:24. 20:24. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? So man's steps are directed or determined, ordained by God. But yet, so God is sovereign. But yet he has ordained our steps, but we still have to plan our steps, and our decisions and our actions are real. That's how he's ordained it. That in his sovereignty, he's ordained that our decisions and our actions, our steps, what we say, we're going to be held responsible for them, even though he's planned them. In other words, that's what the end of the verse is saying. If God has ordained our steps, then how can a man understand his way? That means we need to depend on God, trust him. Trust him for his providence. Depend upon him, not question him in a sinful way. But walk by faith and not by sight. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. So we have to plan, be good. use wisdom, discernment, but yet we know that God has planned for us everything, ordained everything for us. And here comes another train, but we're on our last topic. Be a good listener. Be a good listener. This one's a hard one, because especially when you're being rebuked by somebody, maybe in a false way or false accusations are made, it's easy to blab your mouth and to say things you probably shouldn't say, or in anger, or rather than listening to someone else, we're thinking about what we want to say next to them, right? Very easy to do. So be a good listener. Proverbs 18:13. And I think all of our verses from here on out are from chapter 18. Proverbs 18:13. Be a good listener. Solomon writes in Proverbs 18:13, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." So he who gives an answer before he hears, meaning premature answer, premature listening, you didn't hear everything out. I mean, how many times have you talked to somebody and you have to stop and say, "That's not what I said. Did you hear what I said? Did you listen to what I said?" It might be that they didn't, because they're too absorbed in their response. Or you're too absorbed in your next response and you didn't listen to what the person said. So it is folly or foolishness and shame or disgrace to him. Proverbs 18:2, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind," which is another way to say he's not a good listener. We're going for the record for trains in the 10-minute span here. So in Texas, they say if oil rigs are going, it's good, right? I guess in New Mexico, if the train's going, things are going well. Okay. Anyway. Okay, where was I at? Proverbs 18:2. So a fool reveals his own mind. So you see this in the news a lot. I don't want to beat the media up too much, but I guess they deserve it sometimes. The media does this, right? Some event happens, and they've already made all their conclusions and decisions before any of the evidence is out. How many times do we do this? There's no evidence or little evidence, but we take one little grain of evidence and say, "Oh, he did A, B, C," before we even hear everything out or even give time. I think we should give time to listen and even maybe a couple of days to for more information to come out. Because as the end of verse 13 says, "It is folly and shame to him," the one who does not answer or listen long enough to give a good answer. Okay, last one. Proverbs 18:17. Proverbs 18:17. "The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him," or cross-examines him. So one tale is good till another's told. You gotta hear both sides. And as it says at the end of the verse, until another comes and cross-examines him. As you know, as I know, as we all know, there are two sides to a story. There are always two sides to a story. And we should take the time to listen. I think I've told you this before, but a woman came years and years ago for marriage counseling, and I was convinced her husband was the worst guy I've ever met in my life. Until I talked to him, I realized, oops, I should have listened to his side of the story first. And it wasn't, his side wasn't as bad as she made it. Anyway, I shouldn't have taken what she said as just, "Oh, whatever you say is right." And so, in other words, she pleaded the case, and then I cross-examined him and realized, "Oh, oops." Okay, so anyway, we get both sides of the story. Because if we don't cross-examine, you get hasty judgment. You make the wrong judgments. You're not being a good listener. So, part of being wise is being a good listener. Part of being wise is, we go backwards, knowing that God ordains our steps, taming our tongues, and being wise is just listening to rebuke and listening to the Lord and listening to others who want to give input on your life and hearing the other side of the story. It all involves wisdom. So that's our Proverbs talk. And we'll end there. And as of now, we're under 15 minutes until I pray. Look at me. It might be the first and last time that I'm this short. Even with the pauses, that's right. All right, let's pray. Give thanks. Lord, thank you for these Proverbs. Thank you that we can think through these things and taming our tongues and being wise with our tongues, with our ears, being good listeners. And thank you, Lord, that you ordain our steps. Help us to walk in wisdom and to do what you have for us and to honor you and glorify you. We thank you for the food that we're about to eat in the near future, and that we can glorify you while we eat and drink and give glory to you in these things and enjoy our time together. May we honor you with these things. In Christ's name, amen.